The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah, the second chapter. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come. Let us walk in the light of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading is from Romans chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to the neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I just now realized I skipped the gratitude. So let's step back and say these words together. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion.
Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem.
Behold, your king is coming to you.
Righteous and having salvation.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
From the house of the Lord we bless you.
Now at this time we stand out of respect for the reading of the Holy Gospel and the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Jesus said, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Our sermon text for today comes from the book of 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter. And it reads, "As they were coming home when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tambourines, with songs of joy, and with musical instruments. And the women sang to one another as they celebrated, 'Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s.' And Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. He said, 'They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed 1,000s. And what more can he have but the kingdom?' And Saul eyed David from that day on." Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm Vicar Gonzalez Feliciano, and I bring to you greetings from Pastor Hartwig and the saints at Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Iowa City, Iowa. It is good, Lord, to be here. And here we are again, the start of the year. Now, I know that most of us don't tend to think of it as the start of the year. After all, we still have the rest of December to get through. We haven't even hit Christmas yet. But what I'm talking about is what we all see in front of the bulletin, what we recognize here as the first day of the church year. So how did it go last year? Were you able to keep all of your resolutions? I mean, of course, you and I don't really make resolutions for the church year. No, instead, you and I choose to save that for the actual year. But resolutions are kind of an interesting thing, right? You see, historians believe that the practice of resolution making comes from thousands of years ago with ancient Babylonians. At the start of the new year, they would make promises to their gods and kings, with the idea being, if they kept these promises throughout the new year, they'd be on their gods' good books. But if they failed, well, nobody really wanted to be there. You have to kind of wonder, how did it become the practice it is today? Because you and I don't make promises to some foreign god. We make these promises to ourselves. Now, these resolutions come in all shapes and sizes, but I tend to kind of whittle them down to two big categories. You have your self-improvement of, I'm going to eat healthier, I'm going to read a new book a month, or I'm just going to finally start walking more, I'll stop Netflix binging as often as I have last year. There's also the big ticket item. That I'm finally going to go to Europe. I'm finally going to go to have that big trip I've always wanted. I'm going to visit all 50 states. So just have more holidays here at home. But essentially, all these resolutions have become such a cultural practice. There's countless pictures and motivational sayings come January that will fill up your Facebook feeds or will tell one another that we can do these new things. Because resolution keeping is ingrained in our culture. Just as come February, most of us recognize that we probably all fail in keeping these new resolutions. You see, though they're very different, though they're all unique, I think all resolutions kind of boil down to the same thing. I just want this new year to be better than last year. Well, look around. It's December now. How's it going? You haven't forgotten your resolutions, have you? I have. See, sadly, what started out this year, new me, has turned into same old. And you see, normally and sinfully, this is the time where you and I start to kind of look around and compare. I mean, we don't mean to, but we can't really help it. You see, Thanksgiving just happened. And we had a lot of time to sit down and think about what are we thankful for? The gifts of God, family, friendships. But then Thanksgiving was followed by that high holy holiday in American society, Black Friday. The time where Americans will line up at any given hour of the day for that deal. Because all this stuff is stuff that they need, but they would obviously never really pay full price for. Some of you may still be recovering from your very own Black Friday experience. You see, Thanksgiving was a great time to get stuffed, but Black Friday is the perfect time to get stuffed. But why? Let me be honest with you. I'm not trying to say that I'm somehow impervious to the good deal that's out there, or I somehow don't want more things. But have you ever just stopped to think about the why of it all? I mean, I'm not impervious to it. My phone works just fine. But as I see the ads for the new iPhone 11, as I see the new Google phones that are coming out, I look at mine and think, well, maybe it is time for an upgrade. Or when I see family going on trips to Ireland, I can't help it. I sit down and I Google flights. Just to wonder, how much does it really cost? Start looking. You see, you and I We're constantly looking. You see, in our text today, Saul was looking. To be more specific, the scriptures say that Saul eyed David because he was jealous. You see, David had just defeated Goliath. He saved the nation of Israel, and he didn't do it with a sword and a shield and this come-from-behind victory. He did it with a sling and a stone. And David wasn't this military product that Saul could tout out and say, look at it. This is what my army can do. This is one of my trained soldiers. He was some shepherd that wandered into camp. David wasn't even a full-grown man. He was a youth. And yet Saul was jealous of this youth because somehow he won. Somehow this youth slew Goliath. And as Saul is returning back to his kingdom, he hears the people sing with songs and tambourines. They say, Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. Saul didn't like that. You see, to this, Saul said, what more can he have but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day on. Saul, who was the king of a nation, who could have had anything that he had wanted at his fingertips, he was jealous of this shepherd youth. So he kept his eye on David. Who are you keeping your eye on? Is it the neighbor across the street who just got himself a brand new Ram truck? Is it the sister-in-law who got that promotion and can now finally afford to get those things for her kids that you can't? Is it the brother or sister who seems to be raising their children just fine? They're not having the same problems you're having. Is it the coworker or other students in the classroom who just seems to be doing so well? You're just miserable. Is it last year? The past that seems so much better than the current present you're living in? You see, there are so many things that you and I can keep our eyes on, but only one who really deserves our attention. Jesus Christ. Because only by the name of Christ are you and I saved. Because Christ gave up everything that you and I can become sons and daughters of the one true God. See, there's no other person you and I should be watching other than Christ. You can want all the stuff in the world, but you only really need Jesus. You see, it's not for nothing that the sermon began with, grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, as the people of God, we're used to hearing these things. They begin every sermon, or every now and then we hear these things, and we get a little bit dull in the ears. But we need to remember, brothers and sisters in Christ, these are the gifts of God, and they're yours. You have the kingdom of heaven. As God's dear child baptized into the family, you have forgiveness of sins, salvation, and life everlasting. These are the good gifts that are much greater than anything you're going to find on the Best Buy rack for 50% off. Better than any mail-in rebate. These are the gifts of God. So let us rejoice and be glad in them. So today is the first Sunday of the new year. If you haven't said it to one another, let me be the first to say it. Happy New Year. Let's make a resolution. This isn't some fancy sermon move now where I'm just going to throw out some hypotheticals here. Brothers and sisters, though I'm just a vicar from Iowa City, as the church, together, let's make a new resolution. This upcoming church year, this upcoming new year, let's keep our eyes on Christ, the founder, perfecter of our faith. Because I'm sure Christ doesn't care if you have an iPhone 11 or an iPod Shuffle. Christ doesn't care if you're here in Iowa or if you're in Bangladesh, so long as you are sharing the gospel with one another. Because Christ Christ wants you to look at the people that he has put in your life, not the stuff, not the things that people have. He wants you to look at the people. People who are hurting and broken. People who are in desperate need of a Savior. People who are doomed to an eternity apart from God without the gospel. You see, people who need others to look after their souls. This is the kind of looking that Christ wants you and I to do. Not to look at the stuff they have, but the people that have been put in their lives. Love others and show the same love that you've received. Otherwise, you and I start to look an awful lot like Saul. Heirs of the eternal kingdom of God, having surpassing riches that are beyond our wildest imagination, and yet we look at clothes and TVs and phones, and we're just not satisfied. So you and I have received the gifts of God. Forgiveness of sins, salvation, life everlasting, grace, mercy, and peace. These are the gifts of God that we have been given. So this resolution to keep our eyes on Christ, it's not some big ticket item. It's not about self-improvement. This is about soul improvement. And it should be your most important resolution in the new year to come. Both the church year and the actual year. Look to Christ. Love one another. So be it. Amen.